Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Bill Gray, Deputy Commissioner of Systems at the Social Security Administration. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. And also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Greg Greben. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Well, Bill, let's start by sort of learning more about the Social Security Administration. Could you give us a sort of a historical background and talk to us about its mission?
Okay. Well, Social Security, as a lot of people know, started back in 1937 under the Roosevelt administration when people were going through the Depression. And they wanted to have a guarantee that people who reached their retirement years had a floor of income that they could count on. And so Social Security was formed really to make sure as people reach the retirement age that they'd be able to support themselves throughout their retirement years.
Most people don't realize the size of the Social Security and the number of people who work there. I'm curious, could you give us a sense of the size of the SSA and perhaps more importantly, the types of skills of the people who work there?
Well, Social Security has about 65,000 employees, and it's a very diverse organization. First of all, we have about 45,000 employees that work in one of our 1,400 field offices that are in almost every community across the country. And the employees in these offices serve any American citizen that comes in, has a question, needs to file for benefits, needs to change something on their records. We also have a number of other positions that support them. We have about 19,000 employees that work that are not federal employees but state employees that work in the states that make the medical decisions so that if somebody comes and files for disability benefits, these employees determine whether they meet SSA's medical requirements. In addition to that, we have a number of employees throughout the country and throughout the agency that provide support. I have working in systems. I have people that develop new systems who are requirements writers. I have network engineers. I have a number of IT professionals. We have lawyers. We have judges that if somebody files an appeal because they disagree with one of the decisions that was made, a judge can hear them. We have people who are accountants who work on space and budget. So it's just a very diverse organization.
Can you explain SSA's interaction and relationships with other federal departments and agencies?
Well, Greg, SSA used to be a part of Health and Human Services. And about 9 years ago, we became an independent agency, and Social Security now reports directly to the president as part of the executive branch. We work very closely with a number of other federal agencies, IRS, because obviously there's a connection between collecting income taxes and collecting Social Security taxes, with the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, because Social Security signs people up for Medicare. They collect the premiums, and they oftentimes answer questions for people. We work closely with the Veterans Administration. Many disabled veterans are eligible for Social Security benefits as well. So with a number of federal agencies throughout the government, we work very closely.
Bill, can you talk to us about your specific responsibilities and duties as the Deputy Commissioner of Systems?
As the Deputy Commissioner for Systems, we really have a very large centralized systems organization that manages all of the information technology at Social Security. We have one of the largest data centers in the world that we process about 45 million transactions a day. We build a lot of our own software, and so we have a good number of software developers, and we're responsible for getting and overseeing the installation of new workstations, new servers, telephones, managing the telecommunications network, the 800 number network. So just a wide array of responsibilities.
And can you talk to us a bit about prior experiences before becoming Deputy Commissioner of Systems?
I started out in Social Security about 28 years ago as a claims representative in Sandusky, Ohio, one of the 1,400 offices that I had mentioned before. And in that role, I would people would come. I talked to people that needed to file for benefits or had questions, and I try to answer those questions. I moved up through the management ranks. I was a supervisor, a staff assistant in Chicago. And in 1985, in January of 85, Social Security was just starting to move into bringing systems online, giving end users in the field offices the ability to take applications through CICS online. And I came in on a detail at that time to supervise an office that was composed of people from the field that were testing these new systems before they were released to make sure that they met the end user's requirements. Since that time, I've worked in a number of different jobs representing the end users in all systems development, making sure that their voice was heard at the table. And about 4 years ago, I actually moved out of operations into the systems organization itself. I came in, first of all, as an assistant deputy commissioner, and then about 2 years ago, I took over in charge of systems as the deputy commissioner.
As you think about your career, was there any one experience where you shifted from being a sort of a worker, a doer, to realizing you're interested in being part of management?
I think when I first became a supervisor, that was the point at which you kind of made that shift there, where you moved into management. And I think that that's always for anybody, that's kind of a difficult shift. I think that all of a sudden you're responsible for things. You move from doing work yourself to try to motivate other people to do the work for you. And so those are a set of skills that I think we all need to learn as we make that transition.
You've talked a lot about your experiences, and what I've noticed is you've remained with the Social Security Administration the entire time. What's kept you in public service? Perhaps you've been attracted into the private sector but said no. What's kept you?
Well, first of all, I love being in public service. I think it's the mission of the agency. I think that coming to work and doing things that you think improve the lives of everyday American citizens, I think that's what really motivates me. And I think Social Security is a wonderful place to work. And what I try to tell my folks is keep your eye focused on service. That's why we're here. And keep your eye focused on that despite all the other, you know, distractions that you have in your day-to-day work lives.
You're a leader of a very large team because of the size of the systems you do. What are the kind of skills you use to sort of stay in touch with the team? I think people often talk about the need for leaders to communicate. So I'm curious how you do that with such a large team.
Well, there's a lot of ways that you do it, and I think communication is absolutely vital. I think the first step is that you have to know where you're going. You have to have a vision of where you're going. And so I try to get a lot of input from people to try to form the vision, make sure people know the direction that we should go. And then I spend a lot of time just going out and talking to people over and over again about the directions we're going and why we're going into those directions. I have weekly meetings with a division. And so it's a different division in systems every week, and it's the employees all the way up from the clerical staff to the managers, and we talk about any issues that people have on their mind. I spend a lot of time not only communicating within systems and telling people where we're going, but going out to the various offices across the country and making sure the people that we serve and support understand where we're going, why we're going in those directions, and if they have issues and concerns, making sure I understand these so that we can try to address them in our systems development.
What's your perspective on the speed by which decisions are made in the public sector? For example, we often talk to a lot of people who join government coming from the private sector or late in their career, and they are surprised at how slow it is compared to some of the decision-making they saw in the private sector. Others are not, because they think it's comparable, large organizations being large organizations. I'm curious to your perspective on that.
Well, I think that obviously there's lots of regulations that you have in government that you have to follow in going forward, and that can slow down the decision-making process. But I also think that if you're adept at understanding how to manage through those regulations, you can make decisions quickly. I think, and I think at Social Security, for the most part, we're able to do that and put ourselves in a good position.
You've been there a long time and you've seen lots of different leaders of the organization. I'm curious if you could describe for us what you think the characteristics of a good leader are.
I think somebody who, first of all, has a vision. somebody who can communicate that vision, somebody that listens to the people around them and is able to make sure that they really reflect people's concerns and try to address those concerns. And I think the most important characteristic is integrity. I think all of us in our jobs, really the only thing we have that people can rely on is our word. And if you don't have integrity and your word doesn't mean what it should mean, you're not able to do business effectively. So,
interesting point. One of the major programs of the Social Security Administration involves disability benefits. What are the plans to modernize how these are provided? We'll ask Bill Gray of the Social Security Administration to tell us more about these when the Business of Government Hour returns.